up to no good. The captain and its crew happened upon a handsome young man on the shores of an island, and taking him for a prince or some person of great import, they kidnapped him, thinking they could receive a large ransom for his release. The wicked pirates dragged him onto their ship, but when they attempted to tie him up, no rope could restrain him. The man said nothing and merely smiled at his captors, who were baffled by what was happening. The ship's captain, however, suspecting something supernatural, exclaimed, "You fools, do you not realize that this is a god and we have brought him aboard our ship? We should bow down and worship him, begging his forgiveness, so that he will not bring about our destruction." Yet as they reached out to grab their captive, who in truth was Dionysus, he turned into a lion and began to roar at them. He also conjured up a bear, and together they attacked and killed the captain. The other pirates leaped overboard into the sea, turning into dolphins as they hit the water. And so, in not recognizing a mischievous god who was disguising himself, those pirates suffered a terrible fate. Now, my brothers and sisters, if such a fate is to be found in ancient tales and mythologies, how much worse a fate awaits those who do not recognize the crucified and risen Jesus Christ as the true God. What excuse does humanity have? What excuse do we have? God has manifested himself in the flesh, walked with us, talked with us, worked wonders before our eyes, and yet we refuse to recognize him and accept him as the Savior, as our Savior. Let us consider the awesome accounts we have heard over these past couple of days, when even the irrational creation shudders and quakes at the presence of the Son of God hanging on the cross and interred in the heart of the earth. Lifeless nature recognized him whom men were not able to recognize on account of their darkened intellect. The whole of mute creation trembled and stood up in protest in its own way and with its own language. The mute earth quakes, that is its language. The rocks were rent, that is their language. The sun withholds its light, that is its language. The whole of creation protests in its own way, for the whole creation is obedient, as Adam once was in paradise. The whole creation knows Jesus as God, as Adam did in paradise. How irrational creation knows him and was obedient to him, we really cannot know. It is some sort of inner instinct of creation which came to it by the word of God, through whom all things were made. This instinct of irrational creation is more perceptive than human understanding darkened by sin. And for this reason, St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "None of the rulers of this age understood God's wisdom, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Of all that exists, nothing is more blind than the human mind when darkened by sin. For it not only does not see that which it was created to see, but sees that which is contrary to nature, contrary to God, contrary to truth. This is man even lower than creation. For while the priests of God in Jerusalem did not recognize their God, he came to his own, and his own received him not, writes the evangelist John. The storms and the winds recognized him. The plants and animals recognized him. The seas and the rivers, the earth, the rocks, the stars, the sun, and even the demons recognized him. Are we not ashamed as creatures made in his own image and likeness that we do not recognize the Son of God and follow him in loving obedience? The earth quaked, the rocks were split, the sun was darkened, both from wrath and from grief. All nature grieved at the passion of the Son of God, which passion rejoices the masses. All creation was frightened at the death of him who had called it out of nothingness into being, as though it wanted to cry out, "Who will now uphold and sustain us now that the Almighty has given up his spirit?" When those at the base of his cross mocked him, saying, "If you really are the Son of God, prove it by coming down from the cross," Jesus rather proved he is the Son of God by remaining affixed and suspended on that tree, for this is his love for us. And how else did he prove his divinity? By healing the sick, raising the dead, receiving the beatings and the spittings. The God of love reveals himself as one accursed, hanging on a tree in order to remove the curse of death from us. The God of love shows himself as the paschal lamb by being sacrificed. The God of love enters into the grave to liberate us from the grave. The God of love descends into lowest Hades to rescue the souls trapped there. The God of love rises from the tomb to pave the way for our own resurrection. Does creation recognize this, and we do not? Let us then, instead of quaking like the earth, rejoice in his sacrifice. Instead of splitting like the rocks, open our hearts to his love. Instead of being darkened like the sun, be illumined by his heavenly commandments, and obey the master of creation, even as his own irrational creation obeys him. O Master of all, forgive us, for we know not what we do. Your creation acknowledges you, but we sinful men do not. Forgive us, have mercy on us, and instruct us how to fittingly praise and glorify your sacrifice, which is above every sacrifice, the offering of yourself, so that we might all become inheritors of your unending kingdom. For to you, our crucified God of love, be the power and the glory unto the ages of ages. Amen.